Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoCellaCast podcast, hosted at podfeed.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. Today is Tuesday, October 14th, 2014, and I guess I'll call this show number 492.5, because it's not a regular show. By now, you've probably heard that Macworld Expo has officially been put on hiatus and that there will be no show in 2015. I have to say that I was, like many of you, terribly saddened to find out that such a big part of my life will just simply cease to exist. Paul Kent, general manager of IDC World Expo and the man behind Macworld Expo, wrote in a Facebook post that he's looking back with fondness and looking forward to what the future will bring. Rather than wallowing in sadness about it, I'd like to take his approach and instead talk about the good times and what Macworld Expo meant to me. The first time I went to Macworld Expo was with my buddy Ron. We accidentally got to San Francisco a day early. I guess we were bad at reading the calendar. And so we got a chance to check out the city. The next morning, we stood in line at 5 a.m. in one of the strongest rainstorms I have ever been in. I mean, cats and dogs doesn't even begin to describe it. We were there in hopes of getting into the keynote. After an hour or so, the people from Macworld had pity on us and ushered us into what is most generously called a pen in the basement. And I know I make that sound awful, but we were so happy to be out of the rain. We were just fine sitting on the concrete in the basement. Anyway, we were rewarded by seeing the great and powerful Steve Jobs announce the iPod Shuffle. I remember racing out of the venue to the Apple Store in Stockton to be the first in line to buy the device Steve Jobs had recently convinced me I so desperately needed. A few years later, my husband Steve and I decided to attend Macworld, and we went every year together after that. One of our favorite parts of Macworld was getting to know the other Mac Roundtable hosts in real life. We never would have met Don McAllister if it hadn't been for Macworld. For many years, Steve and Victor Cahiao would get up before dawn to walk the quiet city and share a cup of coffee in the early morning light. Katie Floyd became such a close friend that she's even come to visit us in California. Even though Adam Christensen and David Sparks live very close to Steve and me, we pretty much only ever saw each other at Macworld. Chuck Joyner, Ken Ray, Jeff Gamet, John F. Braun, all of these guys are family now. Dave Hamilton introduced us to the Macworld All-Star Band. You know, all these people are such great friends now. We only had Tim Verporten on this planet for far too short of a time. If it weren't for Macworld Expo, we would have never gotten to know him in real life. The Mac Roundtable folks just loved it when we got to do a panel at Macworld Expo. Chuck Joyner did a fantastic job of wrangling 8 to 10 people into a coherent conversation. Now think about how hard that was. That many people who love the microphone all wanting to talk at once. The fact that he was able to get us together was a miracle. Now the Mac Roundtable will continue to exist and will continue to be great friends, but I'll look back fondly on the fun we had in real life together. A few years ago, I started throwing a party for the fans of the show that we called the NoCilla Castaways Party. It started small and grew year after year until we actually had to have bouncers after a certain time. Paul Shadwell from Switzerland, Barry Falk from Chicago, and Julie Keel from Fargo ferociously took on that role. We all played pool, we had drinks, we chatted, we even had a live hangout where we walked around with a laptop so we could bring in people who couldn't be there. I know a lot of the NoCilla castaways got to meet Rod Roddenberry via that hangout, so the fun went beyond the confines of San Francisco. I love the NoCilla castaways party. In the early days, you went to Macworld Expo because it was a good place to be with your own kind, a place where you weren't mocked for using a Mac. It was a place where you were thrilled to see how many Macs there were around. I have to say, I was worried that as the Mac gained popularity and the iPhone took over the world, maybe we would lose that sense of community. Somehow, Macworld Expo maintained that small community feel in spite of Apple's newfound popularity. I think I can best explain this as an example from the 2014 show. A group of us had gathered over at the Chieftain, a bar around the corner where Macworld attendees were wont to gather. We met Paul Wheatley from Scotland and Ewan Rankin from England as we gathered around with our usual crowd. But then this guy walked in, simply sat down with us and said, "Hi, I'm from Twitter." He didn't mean he was from the company Twitter. He just meant that he knew us from Twitter. He was immediately welcomed into the fold as one of us. Now, that lack of eliteness of who's cool and who's not was so refreshing compared to every other show I've attended. There wasn't a barrier between you and, say, luminaries like Chris Breen, who was friendly and fun, and everybody was that way. I'd love to attempt to name everyone I met because of Macworld, but I know I would miss someone, and then they'd feel sad. You know who you are, and you know I'll never forget you. Now, of course, it wasn't all play. I loved the exhibit hall. It was such a wonderful and magical place. Sure, there were the huge, flashy booths, but many of us preferred the area dubbed Tiny Town, where they would take a round table about the size of a large pizza and put four little startups at the table. Tiny Town was often the most crowded area because you could learn about so many products in such a small area, and they were really interesting products. One of my earliest memories is hunting down the Smile booth to meet Jean McDonald in person. She was as delightful as I'd hoped and has become a longtime friend. Steve and I actually traveled in Australia together with her. I enjoyed so much visiting, say, Paul Kafasis of Rogue Amoeba every year to see what wonders in audio they had developed. I remember meeting a gentleman named Guru Parasad, if I pronounce that correctly, developer of Boom at Macworld Expo. Because of that meeting, later on I got to meet with him over FaceTime. Now that FaceTime stands out to me because it was morning in India and I got to meet his little children around the breakfast table. You know, just those kinds of experiences. Where else would you get something like that? It was the exhibits where Steve really had fun recording our interviews on video. He was often stopped in the aisles to ask about his rig. See, he has a camcorder on a monopod with an RF receiver mounted on top that gets the signal from a matching wireless transmitter that I carry that's connected to my microphone. So his rig stands out and captures a lot of attention. He also enjoyed so much editing those videos and ensuring the quality of the audio and video was good enough for the community to learn as though they had been there. It took 2 years of interviews at Macworld by both the Cloak and Crash Plan guys for me to really get what their products did and why I shouldn't live without them. I think some of the oddball booths are some of my favorite memories, too, like the most recent Macworld Expo where Kirshan Sia helped us interview the developer of Resistor Vision, an app that lets you read the bands on a resistor to determine their value. It's an odd little app, but one I've actually needed. The tech talks at Macworld Expo were fantastic. The quality of the speakers chosen was really high, and the content was rich with information, and they didn't charge an arm and a leg to get in to hear them. I do have to admit, though, that I really enjoyed seeing my friends present more than the big official sessions with famous people. One counterexample, though, was the presentation Sinbad did at Macworld. This is in our top 10 list of Macworld memories. I also adored being chosen to present at Macworld. I mean, seriously, where else would they let someone do an entire presentation blindfolded? Still one of the most challenging and frightening things I've ever done, but I'm so glad that there was a venue to allow me to do that. Another great memory was breakfast. I don't go out to breakfast in my normal life, but at Macworld Expo, we always managed to meet up with new and old friends for a hearty meal at Mel's Diner or Lori's Diner before that. Eggs and bacon and pancake mixed with discussion of new apps, what sessions people were going to that day, what was the coolest thing they'd seen so far. Such good times. Every year at Macworld Expo, the Macworld All-Star Band would play at the Mac Observer Cirque de Mac party. Now, you know I'm not a lot about music, but this party was awesome. Sure, there were way more boys than girls there, but the dancing and the foolishness knew no gender bounds. The band was amazing. So much fun to watch people you know as nerdy little geeks up on stage literally as rock stars. I absolutely loved every minute of it. In closing, I'm sad that something I love so much is over, but in looking back, I have no regrets because I had the time of my life.